Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with me now is the Nassau County Executive, Laura Kern. In the news this week, as both she and the Suffolk County Executive, Steve Ballone, say they will opt out if Albany passes a legal marijuana bill. We'll talk about that and more as the April 1st state budget deadline nears, with legal cannabis and so much else in play. Thanks for coming on, County Executive. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Do you have the authority as county executive by yourself to opt the whole county out of legal cannabis sales?
I've asked the legislature to opt out should it become legal in the state, and one of our legislators has proposed legislation to do just that. And the whole reason this came about is when legalized adult use cannabis was first talked about, I wanted to see what we would need to do on the county level to be ready for that. So I convened a task force with school officials, health experts, law enforcement, business, civic, et cetera, to look at every single aspect of it, what we'd need to do to be prepared. And so they were great. I think this is the only one in the state that is, you know, has been such a wide range of study what they looked at. We had eight subcommittees, and pretty much every single one, in fact, every single one came to the conclusion that we are not prepared on a county level to deal with the consequences of the legalized sale here. Now, I understand that if it's legal in the state, it will be legal to own it, it will be legal to consume it in the privacy of your own home, and that this is just about the ability to sell it here.
What if Syosset wants it, but Mineola doesn't? Valley Stream, no, but they want hemp in Hempstead.
Hemp in Hempstead, that's my pun.
I didn't know that. Great minds, or minds that trend toward obvious jokes, work
right
in the same direction. Why shouldn't they be able to make that choice?
Because we have to deal with the consequences on a county level, with our law enforcement, with our police, with our drug treatment community, our schools, et cetera. That's something, you know, well, each school district would have to do it independently, but, you know, all the other stuff, chambers of commerce, et cetera, how we're going to regulate it in terms of, you know, fines, licensing, and that sort of thing, that happens on a county level.
The public is for this, by all measures. A new AP poll out today finds nationwide more than 60% support for legalization of recreational use generally, including 76% of Democrats and a 54% majority of Republicans. And a Quinnipiac poll in January found specifically that Long Island voters support legalization by 20 points, 57% to 37%, and also supported having it in their communities. That question was asked. Quinnipiac said the only surveyed demographics to oppose allowing sale in their communities were Republicans, 53% to 45%, and people older than 65 who opposed it, just 50% to 47%. So one might wonder if some interest groups have your ear to influence you on this so much against what appear to be the majority of your people.
That's an excellent question, and I did see those poll numbers, and it made this decision not an easy decision. No special interest had my ear on this except for speaking to school, to educators, to law enforcement, to my health commissioner, you know, did a very extensive study looking at all of the data from the states where it had been legal, and some of the trends are concerning. The other big part of this is because the legislation is still fluid, we don't know what kind of revenue we're going to get out of this. So we couldn't do a proper cost-benefit analysis to see if the kind of revenue we were going to get would offset what our police would need to do testing, what our Office of Consumer Affairs would need to beef up to ensure everyone was doing it, who was selling this was doing it properly, et cetera. We just couldn't do that kind of analysis. And overwhelmingly, my task force believed that Nassau County is not ready. Politically, yeah, it's kind of difficult because I have seen those poll numbers, but I have to be responsible for my budget, and I also have to be responsible for what I believe is the well-being of our residents here.
You mentioned revenue. Governor Cuomo was on the show yesterday, and he brought up revenue when I asked his reaction to you and Executive Ballone from Suffolk opting all of Long Island out. Listen.
It doesn't help the passage if localities are announcing that they're opting out, because then it it puts the local legislator in a state legislator in a position that they would be passing a law that their district said they want to opt out of. I don't think it's determinative. It does make a difference on the statewide revenues. And it will cost those municipalities, localities that opt out, because then they would not get the local share of the revenues.
So in addition to everything else, as the governor sees it, you'd be denying the state revenue, while I'm sure Nassau is asking for more revenue from the state for many of the county's needs. So how do you square that?
I mean, it's a very good point. It's a very complicated issue. I don't disagree with the governor. Revenue is, obviously the state feels the pinch. We in Nassau County have serious financial constraints as well. And we're always looking for other sources of revenue. We're overly reliant on property tax here, on sales tax. But all of that being said, and one thing I will say for the governor, he does respect local control. He respects the local municipalities to make the decisions that he feels are best for their municipalities. But the revenue is tempting. But short of knowing what that revenue looks like and if it would be enough to help us get prepared for more cannabis in our, you know, with our families, in our schools, et cetera, in our homes, without knowing in our roads, which is, of course, is a very big issue, people driving while high, without knowing that we would have the revenue to offset that and how we would do that, just made me realize that now, for Nassau, is not the time.
So you're saying you don't know, even with the local taxes from legal sale, whether it will be a net revenue plus or a net revenue drain for the county?
That's exactly right.
Listeners, we can take some phone calls for the Nassau County Executive, Laura Curran, on her opting Nassau out if New York State passes legal marijuana sales or anything else. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. One other thing on this before we go on to some other things.
Mm-hmm.
We know the racial disparities in criminal justice around cannabis. Will Long Islanders continue to be arrested or ticketed for possessing or maybe more relevantly selling pot when they could be making, you know, when people could avoid the legal dealers and make a legal transaction across the county line in Queens?
Excellent question. We have racial disparities here when it comes to pot arrests, similar to the rest of the country and the city. More minorities, people of color per capita, are arrested for this, for marijuana, than whites, when we know it's pretty much the same amount of people using, same per capita, or dealing in it. And one thing that the task force report has, it's over 100 pages, incredibly comprehensive, actually in the law enforcement part, is we need to have a serious conversation about decriminalization. And I'm looking forward to speaking with our wonderful district attorney, Madeline Singus, and our police commissioner about that topic.
Stephen in Plainview, you're on WNYC with County Executive Laura Curran. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Brian. Hey, County Executive Laura Curran. How are you today?
Hello, Stephen from Plainview. I'm fine. How are you?
Doing great. So I attended about three of these town hall hearings with the Nassau County Marijuana Task Force.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, didn't see you at any of them.
No, you know what? Actually, Stephen, let me just tell you, I made a conscious decision not to appear because I wanted it to be the task force. I didn't want to look like I had my finger on the scale one way or the other, so I decided not to go.
That's fair enough. I guess my first question was how you came to your decision of opting out before the task force released their report this past Friday.
I had been speaking with members of the task force. I've been in constant communication with both of the co-chairs. And also the feedback. So the feedback I got from them synced very closely with the feedback I'd been getting from everyday people as I travel around the county.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
So my other concern was I found that a lot of the reports that they were presenting that you are also referring to that showed traffic safety issues, public safety issues, and stuff, and quality of life issues, homelessness increase. A lot of these reports that they were showing us at these hearings weren't peer-reviewed and were kind of like cherry-picked data coming from the Rocky High report, the Rocky High Mountain report. That is a pretty biased source to be coming from because their goal is to decrease use of cannabis across the country.
I think, you know, one of the reasons that also led to my decision to opt out is there really is not a lot of conclusive data. You have reports that say it's the best thing in the world, it's going to cure everything, and you have reports that say this is terrible and it's going to be the downfall of civilization. And they all have data to prove it. You know, because it's not been legal, it's been hard to test it and see what the and legalization, you know, is pretty new in where it's happened. It's too soon to know conclusively the picture that the data paints.
Nikhil Insayasat, excuse me, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nikhil.
Hi, how are you? I'm very critical of the decision to opt NASA out. We know that this is fundamentally a racial justice issue. The research shows that in Nassau County, you know, non-whites, they make about 30% of the population, yet make up 70% of marijuana arrests. It's not kids in Garden City and Syosset on the North Shore that are, you know, getting arrested for marijuana possession or selling. It's poor black and brown kids in Hempstead and Uniondale. And we know from your election that you are only in your place because black and brown people came out for you. And I'm, you know, I've been very, very disappointed in a series of I would consider to be racially discriminatory actions from, you know, keeping ICE at the jail. To, you know, opting Nassau County out as a reflection of you not listening to black and brown communities who have been disproportionately affected by the war on drugs and criminal justice policy that criminalizes their communities.
Hi, yes, we've met before. So my goal in my job is to make sure to increase in any way I can the welfare and the health and the safety of our residents. And, I mean, you're absolutely right. The way white kids consume marijuana is different from the way children of color, younger people of color do. You know, you're talking about the kids in Garden City. They can go in the basement or, you know, do it inside more safely where, you know, in more poor communities, people are outside doing it, which means they're arrested in larger numbers. And I think that's a huge issue, which is why I think this conversation about decriminalization that was brought up in the task force is incredibly important to continue, especially if it's legal.
Right. Now, Nikhil, let me ask you something, since you're involved in this issue, and it sounds since the county executive said that you two have met before, that you're active on this issue. She said earlier in the interview that if it's legalized statewide, for recreational use and possession, it still would be legal in Nassau County to own it, to use it in the privacy of your own home. So would that solve the criminal justice issue, in your opinion?
Well, there's two points I'd say. One, my understanding is that the bill that's introduced would ban public consumption of marijuana, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's right. It would still be illegal statewide to consume in public, correct?
Right, and which we know the data shows that County Executive Curran mentioned is that African Americans and Latinos are more likely to consume it in public settings rather than the privacy of their own homes. But I think the other point that's important is that imagine if New York City had, you know, you could buy from a legal dispensary. If you're poor and you're working class and you can't get to the city, the chances are that you're going to continue to buy marijuana on the streets of your neighborhood. And that's going to exacerbate the existing disparities that we see in arrest records for people who are you know, selling. And so I don't think it actually solves the fundamental issue here because, you know, we know that, that you know, whites and blacks and Latinos, you know, take marijuana at roughly the same rates, but they are arrested at very different percentages.
Right, and you're saying if the county opts out from sales, it kind of encourages or almost mandates the existence of illegal dealers in the county putting themselves at risk. That's it. And can I say, we did touch on that before, but go ahead and respond to that one more time.
Well, one point I also want to make, you know, a lot of the social justice arguments might actually work in the city in that communities of color should have a place, should perhaps get preference. Business owners of color perhaps should get preference in getting licenses and that sort of thing. But, you know, in Nassau County, we're still the suburbs, and we found our civic and business leaders in all of our communities, whether they were majority communities, minority communities, all said, We don't want it here. We don't want it being sold out of our storefronts. We don't want it in our downtowns. And it didn't matter what the racial makeup of these communities are. That was something that was overwhelmingly true that the task force found. And so, you know, we're still the suburbs in Nassau. And that it doesn't matter what your racial profile is, what your ethnicity is, people still are looking for that suburban quality of life.
Let me just ask you one political question, because it looks like they're still counting votes and some members of the legislature are still hoping to get a legal recreational bill in the budget, which means by a week from Monday. You said before that some of the Nassau County state legislators are looking to include a Nassau and Suffolk opt-out.
Oh, no, no, I'm sorry. It was our county legislature.
I see.
Yes, it has to be proposed by the county legislature.
So it's
one
not
of our guys down here, local.
I see. I guess I was wondering if opt-out becomes kind of a bargaining chip and the governor could actually get more votes to get it through if he accommodates your desires on this. There's nothing like that going on.
Not that I've heard. That could be happening on a higher level of conversation than I'm privy to at the county level, but I haven't heard anything about that.
My guest is Nassau County Executive Laura Kern. Let's go to the issue of property taxes, obviously huge in Nassau County, and it looks like the state Senate and the Assembly are on different sides right now of the governor's permanent 2% property tax increase cap proposal. What's your position?
So I am very, very happy that the governor has included in his budget bill a five-year protection plan, taxpayer protection plan. It's also supported by the Senate and by the Assembly. And this would, we just did this whole reassessment in Nassau County. A property, I don't want to bore your readers who don't live in, your listeners who don't live in Nassau, but we just did a huge reassessment. And so obviously the taxes are impacted by that, the property taxes. So this bill would phase in any changes that people pay in their property taxes based on this reassessment over a period of 5 years. So that's in all three bills. It's on the cusp of being passed, which I am incredibly grateful and happy for, because it's very important. Now, there's this other thing that you're referring to that our senators have proposed, and from what I understand, that is still just a one-house bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you see as the implication of a property tax cap for school funding? Does it tie each town's hands from taxing for education, however the local voters decide?
Oh, on the property tax cap? Yeah, yes, it would tie, it would absolutely tie. We have 300 independent taxing jurisdictions here in Nassau, 56 school districts, 71 fire departments. We have very, it's like a patchwork quilt. And so I do believe that holding our taxing jurisdictions under the property tax cap, making it permanent, is incredibly important. Our property taxes are very high. This property tax cap has saved Long Islanders, since it's been implemented, about $8 billion. And I am 100% on board.
Has it hurt the schools?
Well, I see that our schools are getting more of their budgets passed than they used to. Our schools are still among the best in the country. I send my children to public schools very happily. I think the schools understand that, you know, they got to make it work.
Did you see the Wall Street Journal article just the other day comparing Westbury and Jericho school funding? Mixed income Westbury spends $24,000 a year per pupil. Wealthier Jericho spends $37,000 per pupil per year.
Yeah.
And the article described the vast differences for the students in terms of college admissions counseling and other things between Westbury and Jericho High School.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I didn't, but I know the issue very well. We have serious educational disparities here in Nassau County. I mean, as I said, we have 56 independent school districts, and their relationship is directly with the state. The county barely gets involved at all. And it's a sad fact that depending on what zip code you're born in, you know, will often determine what kind of education you get and what kind of track you're on in your life. It's a problem.
Are you resigned to that status quo as a permanent fact of life?
No, I don't think it's sustainable. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's sustainable.
Well, with the governor yesterday, we discussed how the whole system of funding and education in most of America is classist and racist in its effects, because the value of people's homes determines inequality in education, and the state can even it out to some degree, but it's still really unequal. So how much do you agree this is a fundamental, it sounds like you do, fundamental unfairness for Nassau County kids who don't happen to live in places like Woodbury or Muttontown. Should we think big on this and maybe even try to abolish property tax-based school funding and go to a statewide general fund or something?
I think that's a very intriguing idea. You know, you drive through, when I drive home from work, I drive through Garden City, which is very wealthy and beautiful and wonderful schools. And then you drive through Hempstead, where the schools are, you know, among the most underperforming. Wonderful students, wonderful staff, but they just don't get the results. Their student outcome, you know, their graduation rates are very low, et cetera. And then right after that, you go into Rockville Center, which is another community where people want to live because the schools are so great. And it's very unfair the way it's set up now. I think we really have to take a hard look about how to make it more equitable so that all of our kids have the chance to grow up to be confident and self-reliant.
I'll tell you that of our 10 lines, and everybody's calling about the marijuana question.
Yeah.
Eight of them are challenging you for opting out and saying reasons why not. We took a number of those calls, so I'm going to take one of the two supporters now.
All right.
In the interest of fairness. Here's Elle in Nassau. You're
Hi,
on Elle. WNYC. Hello, Elle.
Hi there, and thank you for allowing me to contribute. I support the opting out for this reason. As was stated, even in regards to education, depending upon your zip code, that determines the type of education you get. Depending upon your zip code, it also determines the crime. It also determines the number of storefront stores that would be allowed to sell in areas where there are, I live in an area where you have an abundance of crime, you have an abundance of gang-related crimes, you have an abundance of illegal, even though they're storefronts, they're parlors. And by parlors, I mean like prostitution little houses. So I suggest, I support that we opt out, stay out, until we can go to the core and solve the problem in the community where it will enhance the quality of education as well as just the quality mm-hmm. of living in the community. One does not want to walk down the street. I live in a hamlet that has no police department.
Where do you live?
Uniondale. We've met. You mm-hmm. were at Uniondale Public Library.
Yeah.
And
and Elle, are you saying then that in your community, in your opinion, the social costs of having marijuana more easily available would outweigh the social benefit of the criminal justice reform that would entrap fewer kids into the criminal justice system?
I am saying that, and I'm also saying that based upon the amount of people of color who live in a particular area, you look for a large selling market. But percentage-wise or the profit from that sale will not go to that particular area. It will go to elsewhere. I live in an area where there are roughly 7,700 students. We just passed a bill for $158 million.
Let me, a school budget.
We have a school budget coming up. We have to vote in May. Anywhere between $205 to $210 million.
Elle, let me ask you one follow-up question, and then I'm going to have to go for time. But in the debate about provisions in the bill, and we just had a whole segment on this regarding New Jersey's legalization debate yesterday, one of the things that they're discussing is whether the bill can designate funding to go particularly or disproportionately to communities that have been negatively affected by criminalization in the past. If something like that was in the New York State bill, would that make you feel differently?
No, it would not, because You see, those who are in control and have the ability to take the money and direct it to whatever project they feel is necessary, such as increase in their salaries, they will do so. So in the long run, even though the money may be designated here, okay, the people who truly need it are not going to receive it because you have to clean house first.
I understand. Al, you don't have faith that they're actually going to follow through, even if they say they're going to do it. Thank you very much for your call. We really appreciate it.
And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
And this is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio, where we just have a couple of minutes left with Nassau County Executive Laura Curran. Our main topic has been her decision, as well as that of the Suffolk County Executive, to opt out from legal marijuana sales if the state legislature passes them.
And by the way, Brian, if I may add, our task force report is online. You can go to the county website. It's very comprehensive, and I think people who are interested in this issue will find it interesting.
Good. I want to touch on one other thing, because I see you're touting big plans for redevelopment around Belmont as the Islanders plan to move their home hockey ice there, but also around the Coliseum. So what are your hopes and plans briefly for each?
So the around the Coliseum, where the Islanders are playing now very well, I might add, we've planned a big live, work, play development. It's about 70 acres of parking lot around the Coliseum, so it's going to have housing, high-wage jobs. Northwell Health is going to be building a facility there, as well as retail and entertainment to complement the Coliseum. So this has been in stagnation for decades. We are finally moving forward, working with the legislature in a bipartisan manner, working with the town of Hempstead that controls the zoning, working. So that's very exciting. So that's in Uniondale, right in the heart of our county. And then, of course, Belmont is where the Islanders will have their arena. Work is a state project. I am bullish on this project. I support it 100% because it's going to bring the kind of economic development and jobs that we need here in Nassau County, help move us into the 21st century. We need to keep and attract more young people here.
And while everybody moans and groans about the Giants and the Jets, and aren't sure what's going to happen with the Yankees and the Mets, the Islanders are 42-24.
It's amazing.
Nobody notices.
I know.
But we've been getting tweets here from an environmental group that objects to the natural gas pipeline being developed to run to the Belmont area for its new energy needs with the Islanders. And as I understand it, the pipeline would run from New Jersey through the Rockaways and lower New York Harbor to get to the area. And the environmentalists want to say no to this kind of expansion of fossil fuel infrastructure. For you as a Democratic politician who's, you call yourself an environmentalist, I think, what's your position?
So because this is a state project, I am not as immersed in the details to answer that question in a satisfying way. All I know is that I am looking forward to all the parties working it out so that we can have the jobs and the economic development that we desperately need, and so that we can keep our beloved Islanders here in Nassau where they belong.
And you're going to get up to speed on the natural gas, fossil fuel infrastructure question.
You've given me some homework, Brian, so next time I'm on, I can answer it more intelligently.
Nassau County Executive Laura Curran, thank you so much for your time today.
Anytime. Thank you.